We start today's program with the 2016 legislative session, when approval was given for the addition of two new justices to the Arizona Supreme Court. After applications were received and intense interviews were conducted, Governor Doug Ducey named Appeals Court Judge Andrew Gould and State Solicitor General John Lopez as his choices. We contacted both of them for what we're calling entrance interviews. John Lopez said he would be available after joining the High Court. Judge Gould accepted our invitation and joins me now. So, Judge Gould, why did you want to be a member of Arizona's highest court?
Well, the Supreme Court is the court of last review in this state. So in terms of an appellate type court, you really do get to weigh in and be the last word on the case law in this state. But the other thing that people miss when they think about the Supreme Court is it's the court that administers all the other courts in the state. And I was a trial judge for so long, and it's very exciting and interesting to me to help participate in managing the superior courts, the trial courts.
I'm curious, when we think about, and this is at the federal level, but we often hear that there are issues with caseload, that there are so many cases going on. Have you found that in the work that you do, as the Valley has grown, as Arizona has grown, are there more challenges built in?
Well, I have a pretty good perspective on this because I was a trial attorney for a number of years, and then I was a trial judge for about 12 years. I wasn't a trial judge here. I was in Yuma County. I was in a rural county. But I can tell you the number one problem the courts face is congestion. These trial judges, and when I say trial judges, superior court judges, justices of the peace, municipal court judges, they have an overwhelming caseload. They have to work as fast and efficiently as they possibly can. And I'm always concerned because when you have to work like that, you can make mistakes. So I am very concerned about the work overload. People go to the courts for everything now. Every social issue, every family problem, they just, it's quicker. They don't seem to get the answers they want as fast from other sources. And so I think they overutilize the courts. That being said, the court doesn't get to decide whether it's overutilized or not. We have to do our job. You know, on the appellate level, we obviously see the back end of that with the appeals. But the backbone of the system is those trial courts. And my heart goes out to them because I know what it's like. It's very, very hard.
So as a Supreme Court justice, I don't know, obviously you have known Supreme Court justices in the state, I'm sure, for years. Are there certain things you're looking forward to specifically, not in terms of the type of case or anything like that, but people know so much more about the U.S. Supreme Court, and they think they're hearing major cases. They also have time to contemplate a little bit and figure out what's the best way to approach it. Is that, I'll call it, a luxury for those at the highest appellate court situation where you can really have a chance to parse through and figure out something? Or is there a load of things where you don't really get a chance to be so philosophical and thoughtful?
Well, the Supreme Court is a court of review. And what I mean by that is it has discretionary authority to accept most cases. There are certain cases like death penalty cases where it's automatic direct appeal to the Arizona Supreme Court. The court I'm on now, and I'll be on until the end of this year, the Court of Appeals, is a court of appeals. In other words, if you have a case in Superior Court, you have the right to file an appeal, and we take all the appeals. The Supreme Court doesn't have to take every petition for review. So it's a very interesting role in sort of reviewing the cases that come up and deciding, is this an issue of statewide importance? Is this an issue where there's a split of authority in the state? Is this an evolving issue that the court needs to address? So you have kind of a different role. The other thing, and I've sat as a substitute justice on the Supreme Court because we do that sometimes on the Court of Appeals. There's definitely a feeling up there on state law issues anyway. This is it. There isn't any review beyond that. And for years, you know, as a trial court judge, I knew that there could be an appeal for my decision. And on the court I serve on now, I know there can always be a petition for review. But on the Supreme Court, there isn't. Now, if it's a federal constitutional issue, then it can go up to the federal courts. But it's a different role.
It's KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix, talking with Judge Andrew Gould. He is going to be one of the two new Arizona Supreme Court justices starting in January. Judge Gould, let me get your take on a system that has been lauded by many, which is Arizona's merit selection system. How do you think it works, and how do you think it's worked in this case?
Well, I participated in election of judges in the rural county, so I've been an elected judge, and I've been in the merit system for the Court of Appeals and now for the Supreme Court. I think merit selection here was the biggest issue when I ran for judge in Yuma County. I didn't mind going out and getting petition signatures. That was okay. But the money is the issue. Because when you run for office as a judge, you can't raise money. The ethical rules don't allow you to directly raise it. Someone has to raise it for you. And it's always a sticky question because contributions to a judicial campaign, I don't think the public views that in a very positive light. The other problem is, who wants to contribute to a judicial campaign? The average person doesn't really, they're not as cognizant of who's running for these local judge positions. I often felt like when people voted for judges in Yuma County, the judges were at the bottom of the ballot, and that was the last decision they made. So the point being, who wants to give money? Attorneys want to give money. And so that's the sticky issue. And that's where I see the problem in judicial elections. The biggest problem is the money that gets involved and who contributes that money, and then the appearance of impropriety if a judge takes money to run a campaign and then sits on that case. And you can see examples from other states, Pennsylvania, some of these other states, where people run for the Supreme Court and millions of dollars contributed by big corporate interests or by lawyers. And that's really not the best way to select judges. So I'm a believer in merit and the merit selection process because it keeps the money out of the selection process. I also think, too, that the system works very well in vetting candidates. I know that the process I just went through involved the Commission on Appellate Court Appointments. That's a long process, a lot of vetting, a lot of due diligence done on every candidate. Then the governor had a separate staff interview, and that was a very detailed process. And then the governor did his own interview, and then they did follow up on that. So I think that's a good thing when you're picking Supreme Court justices in your state and appellate judges. Final comment, I don't know if elections would work or could work in a county like Maricopa County. I think there's something, well, there's over 100 judges. And I just don't know that people really could fully understand what each and every judge does and cast a vote. It might be very confusing.
So though you're coming from the Court of Appeals, you mentioned that you were a judge in Yuma County. Is there a certain flavor that maybe assisting the high court, or just maybe based on your experience coming from a more rural county, that perhaps some of us in here in Maricopa County miss? Is there a different perspective you think you can offer because of that?
Definitely. And I'm going to put in my plug for Yuma. It's the greatest town that I've ever lived in, and the people of Yuma have supported me all throughout my career, and I'm very thankful to that entire community. Rural counties do offer a different perspective. There's different interests. You know, if you look at a county like Yuma, we're on the Colorado River. We're on the border with Mexico, so we're a border county. We live right on the border, and a good number of the families that live in Yuma County, in the city of Yuma, they go back and forth to their family in Mexico all the time, so we kind of have a different perspective on the border. You know, we have a lot of military bases there, the Marine Corps training station for pilots. We have a lot of farming there. Those are kind of different interests than maybe what the average person in Maricopa County might see. But those are very important interests for the state. The military is very important to the state. The agriculture in the state generates billions of dollars for this state. So, yeah, I mean, coming from a rural county, you see those things. But I also think there's an awful lot of important litigation that occurs in those rural counties. People don't realize that. Cases happen in rural counties. There's big cases, a lot of significant decisions that come out of those counties. And so it's nice to be able to have someone to come in from outside of Maricopa County and say, hey, these courts are very important out here. You have to support them because there's a lot of important things happening in those courtrooms.
I can think of a lot of friends of mine who went into the law because they saw Perry Mason, or there was some fictional attorney that they really enjoyed. Did you ever have something like that where, or was there something in your younger part of your days where you thought you could make an impact? Or was it something as light as, well, I'm watching this person do this, and I really think maybe I can translate that to real life?
My mother was a legal secretary for 35 years, and I remember as a young boy, as early as I can recall, going to the office and sometimes sitting there waiting for her to get done. And I would see these lawyers coming in and out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they come out and talk to me. And they were so professional, and they just seemed to be so distinguished. So I looked up to them. And over the years, you know, I would go to all these law firms and meet a lot of these lawyers. And so I looked up to them very much. My parents encouraged me to pursue the law as a way to help people. It's a privilege to be able to go to law school. It's a privilege to be able to practice. It's a tremendous privilege to be a judge and serve as a judge. You can have such a positive impact and an important impact on people. And in this society where so many important things are litigated, where they come down to a court decision, it's a very important place to be if you want to make this society better and you want to have an impact on American society. So I've been aware of that since I was a young boy. I've seen what these attorneys were like and the kind of people they were, and I was encouraged in that regard by my parents. So to me, it's a public service issue and serving the public, trying to make things better.
Judge Andrew Gould was named one of the two new Arizona Supreme Court justices. He'll start that new position in January. And Judge Gould, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Steve.